Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. But I somehow, someway, keep coming up with funky-ass shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few wins as I breeze through. 2 in the morning and the party still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you wanna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. So turn off the lights and close the doors. But what?
We don't let it close.
Yeah. So we gon' smoke an ounce to this. G's up, hoes down, why you motherfuckers bounce to this?
Rolling down the street, smoking indoor, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. 58 D'Andrea, what up to 58 D'Andrea? We are back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. And today, I am out of legal notepad paper. No, Husan, GK, 58 D'Andrea, thank you. Thank you. We are back today, man, on the show, man. And I ran out of some legal notepad paper. I ain't got no notepad paper. And that's how I prep for the show. I prep for the show like an OG, you know. I prep for the show like an OG. I write some shit down on a fucking notepad like a gentleman. And today I'm out of notepad paper, so I thought to myself, I said, well, good goddamn, man. I got another device sitting here outside of the damn camera. I said, why not get another device in the picture here? I don't like having other browser tabs up while I'm streaming on this device because it slows it down. And so I pull out my old MacBook right here, and I'm telling you, man, we're going to look at some Twitter bookmarks today. We're going to talk about some college football. We're going to talk about some pro football. There's a lot of shit going on right now. There's just some mid-season storylines brewing a little bit, if you know what I mean. People requesting trades, people coming out of retirement, people removing ping pong tables out of the motherfucking Ravens facility, veteran players, you know, everything of the sort. So I don't have any show prep. That's the thing. You might just have to deal with my insanity here for the next 60 minutes of the show. You might just have. So we're going to go through the Twitter bookmarks. That's going to be the meat and taters. I'm fresh out the cold plunge. I'm fresh out the cold plunge. I got some goddamn half a pound of ground beef and four eggs. Pasture raised 100 motherfucking square feet, dawg. That's how we get down. We only eat the eggs of chickens that got a little green grass and a little area to get their little paws on. And so one magical fucking thing I've been doing the last week or so, when I have my lunch, half a pound of ground beef, four eggs, I'll grate some raw cheddar cheese on it, and then I'll put some burger sauce on it. And then I'll have an apple or whatever fruit's in season. Peaches just got out of season, and it's heartbreaking. And I could see the decline when I was starting to get my peaches in early September, mid-September. They just started being dog shit. They just were terrible. Terrible texture. I don't know about y'all, but if you're into peaches, if you're a peach connoisseur, get your mind out the gutter. If you're a peach connoisseur and you cut it up and then you take that first bite and it's grainy, you know what? It's like it tastes like a mouthful of sand. It's like, fuck, you gotta spit that out and just toss it in the trash. I'm talking, fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? That's how bad a bad peach pisses me off. So I started seeing the decline. It was like the end of their career. You know, it's like Kurt Warner. You gotta put a dying dog. Just put it down. Stop getting the peaches over at the market. So now it's sugar bee apples that are in season. And I go down to Sprouts. I go down to the Sprouts market. And it's got a great big list of shit that's in season. And so I go off of that. That's my fruit. You know, I'll get blueberries. I'll get whatever's in season. I don't like grapes. Fuck grapes. I don't like them. Something a little gay about biting something and it bursts in your mouth. I don't like cherry tomatoes. I don't like olives either. I like olive oil, and I like products of tomatoes, and I like grape jelly, but I don't like to eat grapes. I don't like to eat cherry tomatoes. I won't. I just won't. Thank you for the sub, 58 D'Andrew. Really appreciate it. What up, Corey? So yeah, man, got Nicole, but let me finish. I'm talking like I got somebody across from me right now. So I'll have my lunch. I'll start the day with a protein shake, 44 grams of protein, just ingredients, protein powder. I wish they would sponsor the show. Maybe one day they will. Just ingredients, strawberries and cream, protein powder, clean whey, New Zealand protein. See, look, I could do a goddamn reel. And I throw it in there with some raw milk. First thing, get up, get them hormones right, baby. Get out in the sun, stretch a little bit. Get my butthole a little sun, you know what I'm saying? I'm the backyard. And that's a good way to start the day. But what I've been finding is that it is a superpower. After I have my first meal around 1, 2 p.m., the four eggs, the half a pound of ground beef, I throw it in the cast iron, sling it together, raw cheddar, burger sauce. I'll get up and take the dog for a walk around the block. I live in Arizona, so it's sunny most of the days. I'll take the dog around the block. I'll throw some earbuds in my ears and listen to Alan Watts talk about life and consciousness. And I come back, and I take a shit.
and I get all the good effects of eating without all the sometimes if I eat that meal, I know it's good for me. I know it's not like I'm eating, you know, fucking hash browns from McDonald's. They are good, let me tell you. They are tasty. But sometimes when I eat and I sit down to do this work here, do my production, do the thumbnail, do the title, do the description, this, that, and the other, you know, you just feel a little heavier. And so I've been finding to get out in the sun, taking a walk around the block, helps the dog, helps me. And then I hopped in the cold plunge today. Hopped in the cold plunge. I got one out back. Subtle flex. Need it. Need it. And I get in there. Just try to get my breath. You know, I dunk my head. I pop up. Just try to get my breath. In through the nose, out through the mouth. That's the best. If you're ever trying to calm down in a stressful situation, I feel like the in through the nose, out through the mouth, that's really what'll help you calm down. But then you get to a certain level of calm where this is the ideal pocket to be in. You calm yourself down enough. Let's say you're neck deep in some 40-degree water, right? It's you can finally start to get that shit to a place where it's stable and long. Then you can graduate to the nasal breathing. And a lot of times when you're neck deep in 40-degree water, even after you've calmed yourself down with the in through the nose, out through the mouth, and you're getting it real nice and slow, even when you graduate to the nasal, it's shaky again all of a sudden because there's something different with your nervous system about breathing through the nose exclusively than breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth. So I'm reading this book right now. It's called The Oxygen Advantage. It's all about the power of nasal breathing so far. It's all about CO2 retention, all this shit that I'm probably too dumb to understand. Yeah, the red light's great. We got a little recovery joint down the road from our gym. I train over at Red Hawk Academy in Peoria, Arizona, and we got a spot called Art of Recovery with some good red light panels. I want to get the $1,000 one, the big, big, nice panels. That's what Art's got over there. Next to our little facility, and it's nice to have. So there's this account on Twitter, says God has already. It's from Trust God, bruh. And Lane Kiffin quote tweeted this today. Says God has already worked it out. Stop worrying. And Lane quote tweeted it and said, nothing to worry about. God has already worked it out. Stop worrying. Nothing to worry about. I think we just get in our own heads sometimes. We're human, so naturally we're going to put the blinders on whatever it is we're focused on. And naturally, things we put the blinders on aren't always going to go according to plan. The only thing in life that's certain is uncertainty. And the thing about us as humans, we crave that certainty. We want to find the answers to everything. We want that certainty because certainty makes us feel safe. And feeling safe satisfies that core human need to survive and spread your gene pool. Because that is the default mechanism of the human mind and body. How can I expand my gene pool so that it moves on to the next generation? And how can I stay alive in order to do that? So our natural inclination is to worry. Our natural inclination is actually contrary to what God wants for us. God wants to, and I'm not, you know, I don't classify myself as a Christian. I don't classify myself in any major religion, but I believe there's a God. I believe there's a governing body over our consciousness, and that's what gave the power for us to have consciousness, because you think about the power that each of us possess as conscious human beings, how much more powerful we are than any other animal. Anyway, you know, it's like, yeah, Naylor in here, shout out Naylor 80, the best laid plans of mice and men often fail. Yeah, it's true. But I get, you know, it's like, I find myself too, like I'll be in the car on the way to football practice or the gym, and that's my time to think. And a lot of times I'll start to get away from myself and like start to feel some pain in my lower back, holding stress that I didn't even know I was causing myself. And again, it's just coming back to that breath, coming back to the thought, the idea, I'm very powerful. I can create anything I want, and as long as I form the picture, God's going to take care of the rest. God's going to figure out the how. I just got to figure out the why. You know? Yeah, and I think, you know, Corey's in here. He says, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. You know, the first time I heard that quote was from, I think it was like 2007. And I think someone like Michael Vick said it. And that was when that quote came to my attention. And I think preparing for the worst just means being a warrior. What is being a warrior? A warrior's a guy.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
That's ready for whatever. Somebody better tell her. I bet ain't jump and so better do it for real. Can't afford the price of pain because it costs too much. Yeah, boy, I'm ready for whatever. Somebody better tell her. T.I. That's who that is. Preparing for the worst. What does that mean? You got to have the tools. You got to have the mechanisms mentally, physically, spiritually to bring yourself back to center regardless of what's going on outside of you. Some form of meditation. Some form of 10 minutes of silence to see what's going on down below the iceberg. At least 10 minutes. Do, you know, doing something hard every day. For me, that's martial arts training or the cold water. And then I think you got to feed your mind so that when crisis presents itself, you've got a lot of ideas and built-in creativity to see the problems as opportunities. So I don't know. Lane Kiffin, I think, is a great mindset guy. I think a big reason Lane Kiffin is having the success he's having as a head coach right now is because he understands that, yes, coaching is partially X's and O's, football strategy and scheme. You've got to have a mind for the game in order to have success as a coach. But I think Lane Kiffin is a guy that understands that being a leader of men is the most important aspect behind being a coach. That was very Chicago, Wisconsin sounding aspect, the way I said that. He's a player's coach, man. You see him on college game day, and he's walking around the courtyard of that hotel that they were staying at in Athens, I believe. And he's doing his interview with college game day, and he's like just walking around. And I think Lane's a guy that's been through a lot of shit. I think all wise people are people that have been through a lot of shit. The really wise people understand that you've got to self-impose some shit into your life. And I'm not saying, like, go be toxic and create shitty situations for yourself. But I'm saying, like, that cold water. For Lane, I think he does fucking hot yoga. Jiu-jitsu. You know, putting yourself kind of in a simulated test or battle. I don't know. I'm kind of on my fucking soapbox today, ain't I? No, we're just on the first tweet, you know? I'd love for this channel, and it will, I'd love for this channel to get big enough where we've got a team and I've got producers that can just throw the shit up on the screen in real time. I tried screen sharing before to show you guys the tweets and stuff, but that lags the living fuck out of the stream. So we're just going to have to wait until we have income from the channel to throw a producer in the room to throw this shit on screen. But until then, you're just going to have to take my goddamn word on it, boys. How's that? All right, so here's the trending topic of the day. I partially wanted to have my extra screen here with Twitter on it just for this reason. I saw a tweet today about the FBI, NBA stuff, and there's a guy that dropped the nitty-gritty details all in one tweet. So I'm going to read this to you guys. God cuts our name into bone and we become who we are. Interesting. God cuts our name into bone and we become who we are. Like he created us, right? I don't know. So here's the FBI case. The FBI is holding a press conference right now on the details around this morning's sports gambling bust. So if you guys didn't hear, Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, there's a guy named Damon, I believe, that was coaching in Portland. All the details are in here, so we'll get to it. I met Chauncey Billups out on a golf course. It was Idlehour Country Club in Lexington, Kentucky. And my parents were members there, so when I was a younger cat, I was able to go out on the course and play. And it's pretty nice. And Coach Cal, John Calipari, was a member there at the time. And I remember I was on like the 14th hole or something, and I looked up a hill to one of the other holes next to me on the tee box, and I was like, motherfucker, is that Chauncey Billups? I thought my eyes were deceiving me. I was like, why would he be here? Why would he be in Lexington, Kentucky? And so I was on the tee box. He was on the tee box. He was like right next to me. So I was like, what's up, man? And I heard that deep-ass Chauncey Billups boy say, what's up? What going on, man? And I walked up there to him. I was like, are you Chauncey Billups? He was like, yeah. I was like, good to have you. Like, what are you doing here? And he was like, yeah, it's kind of racist, huh? What are you doing here? I said that shit to Odell Beckham when I saw him in my ex-girlfriend's neighborhood one time. I was like, what are you doing here? He gets it like, oh man, that sounds racist as hell, kinda. But anyways, so I walk up to him. And I say, are you Chauncey Billups? He was like, yeah, what's going on? I was like, what's going on? What are you up to? I forgot. He was in town for some three-on-three tournament. You guys remember when Ice Cube used to do those three-on-three tournaments and go to, like, major arenas and sell tickets? They had, I guess, a promotion or an event for that Ice Cube three-on-three there, and that's why Chauncey Billups was in Lexington, Kentucky. They were doing it at Rupp Arena. And so I'm out here on the golf course at Idlehour Country Club in Lexington, Kentucky, and I see Chauncey fucking Billups. And so I walk up to him and say, what's up? And he was like, yeah, I'm here on Coach Cal's membership. And I was like, damn, that's pretty badass. And now the guy is in big trouble, which sucks. I feel like with the mafia shit, there's a lot of mafia shit involved, and we are going to read the details on this case here in a second. But I feel like when the mafia shit gets involved and you just have one encounter with one of these guys, it gets dangerous, man. It gets dangerous. Okay, so highlights. More on Odell. Yeah, well, what happened there, I was pulling into my ex-girlfriend's neighborhood and I saw a little light-skinned kid, a young, almost baby light-skinned kid, riding his little mini bicycle, you know, those little kid baby bicycles across the street. So I slowed down, and then I see a guy swoop in and grab the baby because he saw my car coming. And I looked at him. He had that perfect beard. Pretty sure I saw one of his teeth glistening. I think he had a chance. There's a picture on my Instagram of it. I don't remember what he had. I don't think he had a chain on, but it was a tall, long NFL receiver looking black guy. And I pull past him and I look at his face and I see some purple, like Ravens track pants, I believe. This is when he was with the Ravens. It was like the week after, 2 weeks after the AFC Championship that year. It was the Chiefs-Ravens, and the Chiefs kind of kicked their ass. But OBJ had a good game. The balls he was getting, he was catching. And so I looked to my left as I'm driving by. I was like, that's fucking Odell Beckham. So I pull into my girlfriend's driveway, and I just fucking got out of the car and walked over to him. And I was like, you're OBJ. What are you doing here? Like, in the most excited way. Again, not racist at all. And we talked for like 30 minutes, chopped it up, talked about the AFC Championship. He was bitching and moaning about... He was a good guy. I don't want to sound like a jerk in how I talk about him. He was a great guy. I really enjoyed talking to him. But he was complaining about not getting enough targets in the AFC Championship. He wasn't complaining. I was just like, you know... He said, I didn't get enough targets. He was talking about AFC North football and how difficult it was, how grueling it is, physicality, all that, which was really cool. It was vindicating for me because the AFC North is the best conference in pro football. To me, historically, I know it's a terrible conference this year. It's wide open. Much to the Bengals' advantage, by the way. Okay, so here's more on this case today here. Current and former NBA players and coaches, Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, and Damon Jones have been arrested. Terry Rozier played college basketball at Louisville, I believe. I remember him growing up watching Kentucky basketball. This was an illegal gambling and sports rigging operation that spanned years across 11 states in total. 30 individuals have been arrested, 13 mafia members. Houdé. The case involves La Cosa Nostra, the Italian mafia. So let's look. I'm Googling La Cosa Nostra. La Cosa Nostra, meaning our thing, is the Italian-American Mafia, a collection of organized crime families with origins in the Sicilian Mafia. It is a hierarchical organization involved in various illegal activities such as gambling, drug trafficking, extortion, and loan sharking. It is known for its use of violence to enforce agreements and control rackets. The structure includes a boss, underboss, consigliere, capos and soldiers, with each member holding a specific role in the criminal enterprise. Gang shit? Gang, gang? The American La Cosa Nostra evolved from the Sicilian Mafia, with members immigrating to the United States in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Let's see if there's any other good Jews. All right. We're just going to keep it. So that's La Cosa Nostra. That's the mafia gang that was involved in this NBA case. Charges include illegal gambling, wire fraud, and extortion. So they were extorting people. They were like pinning people up against a wall in the corner and saying, "I'm going to slap your mama if you don't pay me, motherfucker." There are two separate indictments. First involves six defendants accused of participating in a sports corruption scheme that exploited insider information involving NBA players and teams. The defendants leveraged their connections to place prop bets based on confidential insider information, winning tens of thousands of dollars per bet. I remember when I was working for the Indianapolis Colts, I would get... They called it Colts Clips. And so the head journalist for the team, or whatever his job was, digital media reporter, the head reporter for the team would send out emails at like 6 a.m. every morning to all staff with like press clippings for the day from the team. And I remember I would get all of that stuff in my email, and then I wouldn't see it hit Twitter until like 4 or 5 hours later as like breaking news. And I remember thinking like, oh shit, man. If I was a fucking wild ass gangster, if I was wild as shit and didn't give a fuck, I could use some of this shit. But I never did. And obviously I never did that. Incriminating myself on the podcast. No, but I never did any of that shit. When you work in the NFL, you can't even bet any sport. You cannot bet on any sport when you're any type of employee in the NFL. It's completely prohibited, like fired on the spot, etc., etc. And I was shocked because then I took a job a couple years later in the NHL. And like my second day of work, I was like walking around the sales floor, and like other employees, my new coworkers were talking about their NBA bets for the night. And I was like, I thought we can't gamble. And they were like, no, we just can't gamble on hockey. So that was interesting to me. But it seems like a big factor in this case is insider information.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
The players, let's continue. The second indictment involves 31 defendants charged with participating in a nationwide scheme to rig illegal poker games. The FBI says they used high-tech cheating technology to steal millions of dollars from victims in underground poker games that were secretly fixed. So I wonder what constitutes an illegal poker game. I wish I could type with one hand. What constitutes an illegal poker game? I don't know. Keep it going, though. The two cases are separate, but there are three overlapping defendants, including former NBA player and coach Damon Jones. So we had we saw Gilbert Arenas get shaken down a couple months ago with all this shit. I wonder if it's the same case or a different case. Because I don't think I remember seeing Gilbert Arenas mentioned in any of these. And I also know that Gilbert Arenas is on a live show every day, like ours, with Skip Bayless and that former Bucks defensive tackle, Gerald McCoy. So I wonder how he was able to beat that and be on air so fast. Okay. FBI says that NBA player Terry Rozier told the defendant that he was going to leave a game early on March 23, 2023 with an injury. The defendant then placed more than $200,000 worth of wagers on the unders for his prop bets, with Rozier leaving the game after 9 minutes. Those bets paid out tens of thousands of dollars in profits, and the defendants and Rozier counted the money at his house. Are you kidding? Hey, bro, we just gonna come over, see how much we ran it up. You know? Well, that's Italian mafia, so forget about it, motherfucker. We just made tens of thousands of dollars. Forget about it, motherfucker. We're coming over to your place. Count it up. We're counting it the fuck up at your place, Terry. You dumb motherfucker. Let me get this shit out of my way. God. All right. So they count the bread at his house. Here's what we're going to cut you, Terry. The FBI says... And I remember this guy's name. We talked about this guy on the podcast a year or two ago. The FBI says that former Raptors player Jonte Porter was threatened to participate in the sports gambling scheme because of his gambling debts. So we got fucking degenerates out here. These basketball players, by the way, I don't ever know if I've seen a more pervasive collective group of degenerates than NBA players. At least modern day. Maybe they've always been like this. NBA players, dude. These guys, they're having fucking orgies up in the 25th floor of the MGM Grand on their off day. They're snorting coke off of strippers' ankles. They're banging trannies. They're going down to the blackjack table and throwing $100,000 a spin. Sorry, that's roulette. You know what? A hand. These NBA players, the stories I hear about these NBA players, they sound like motherfucking degenerates, boy. And so this guy, Jonte Porter, I remember he got in trouble and he got banned from the league permanently. Was just a degenerate gambler. And then he gets shaken down by the mafia. Here, what the fuck you're going to do? You know, he was threatened to participate. So we're going to shake you down. Okay, teams that were bet on during the sports gambling scheme include the Charlotte Hornets, Portland Trail Blazers, Los Angeles Lakers, and the Toronto Raptors. The rigged poker games occurred in the Hamptons, Miami, Las Vegas, and Manhattan. The poker scheme targeted victims who were lured to participate in rigged poker games by the chance to play alongside former professional athletes. Interesting. These athletes included Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones. The FBI says that the defendants utilized altered shuffling machines to read the cards in the deck and then relayed that information to an off-site operator. The off-site operator, known as the quarterback, then sent that information to someone at the table. Crazy. The FBI also says that the defendants utilize other cheating technologies, including poker chip trays that read cards through hidden cameras, special contact lenses and glasses that could read marked cards, and x-ray poker tables that could read cards face down. And this is the most egregious part of it. The FBI says that the defendants robbed a victim at gunpoint to acquire a rigged shuffling machine. The mafia robbed somebody that happened to have a rigged shuffling machine. So we're going to go rob this guy. We're going to take a device that helps us cheat in poker games. And we're going to rob it from him. We're going to beat his ass and take it. Egregious. The sports gambling investigation is called Operation Nothing But Net, while the poker investigation is called Operation Royal Flush. The FBI has been working on this investigation for 4 years, with victims losing at least $7 million. One specific victim lost at least $1.8 million. The FBI reviewed thousands of hours of video evidence and executed more than 24 search warrants. So these are just accusations at this point. These are the details of the investigation. Crazy. Crazy. So what do you do? What is it? How does this make you look if you're Adam Silver, if you're the commissioner of the NBA, and this is going on under your nose? I've always looked at Adam Silver as kind of like a, yeah, China. You know, I've kind of always looked at him like that. Goofy-looking guy. Can't imagine he's gotten pussy for some time. You know, it just looks like a robot. Talks like a robot. Steph Curry! You know, just kind of looks like a... But this is all going on under his nose, Commish. This is all going on under your nose, Commish. Okay, we're going to shake these motherfuckers down for a poker cheating machine. Okay, we're going to go in there with 5 irons. And we're going to hit him right in the kneecap. And then we're going to take his poker cheating machine. Capiche? We're going to rob this motherfucker. So that is crazy. I hope Chauncey Billups makes it out all right. Obvious fucking Lee. Gilbert Arenas made it out okay because he's on a live YouTube show like this one every day with Skip Bayless. Gilbert Arenas must have beat the case. I didn't hear nothing about that. I just remember Gilbert Arenas involved with all this illegal poker shit. So maybe Gilbert Arenas was involved in this case, but he wasn't named in it because he ratted. What if Gilbert Arenas is the reason all this shit came out? I'm just fucking talking. I don't have the facts. I'm speculating on this FBI shit with the NBA. That's it. I should have made it the fucking headline of the video. Probably would have baited some people into watching the best show on planet Earth in the jar. That's what we call this thing. Yeah, missed opportunity there. Worst tackling teams in the NFL through 7 weeks. Coming in at 27th, you got the New York Jets. They miss 11% of the tackles. They miss 11% of tackles they have the opportunity to make and don't make. Does that make sense? You guys get what I'm saying. At 28, so the Jets, worst team in football. That makes sense. You're missing tackle. You miss 11% of your tackles. Worst team in football. At 28, the Washington Commanders also missing 11% of their tackles. Must be down to a decimal point. Washington Commanders struggling. They're struggling. And the thing with the Washington Commanders is that Jaden Daniels will not be playing against the Chiefs. Washington Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels, he tweaked his hamstring. He underwent an MRI on Monday, and there's no long-term damage to his hamstring, which is good. So Marcus Luigiota, I call him. He's making his third start of the year against Kansas City. You would think, looking at this game preseason, that this would be a fun game. Especially with this Daniels injury, I don't see it that way. But furthermore, even if the Commanders should be Redskins, had Jaden Daniels at their disposal, they've struggled. And they've had a really respectable team since Daniels got there, I've thought. But they have struggled. They've dropped some games. They got their ass handed to them by the Cowboys on Sunday. And now this Commanders season is hanging in the rafters. And part of the reason is that they've missed 11% of their tackles, are 28th in the league in missed tackles. Receiver Terry McLaurin has missed a bunch of games. That's definitely played a factor. McLaurin is on pace to practice this week for Washington. Debo Samuel missed on Sunday against Dallas. So maybe the narrative with Washington this year is that they're riddled with injuries, just like every other fucking team in the league this year. This has been the most egregious NFL season for injuries that I've ever seen in my life, and it's not even close. Is it just bad juju? Coincidence? Bad luck? Are these training staffs not doing what they're supposed to do? I can't imagine that being the case. The league's definitely attracting the best and brightest in those fields to come work for these teams. But that's definitely something to consider. The training staffs, are guys just getting too athletic? And the impact of the game of football is too much for these guys' bodies to handle? And maybe there's other stuff that we're not even thinking about. Okay? So that's what's going on with the Commanders. But they are 28th in the league in missed tackles. 29th, Miami Dolphins, also at 11%. Another bad team. Makes sense. When you have no faith in your offense, psychologically, at least on a subconscious level, it's hard to want to go out and finish tackles and run to the ball. 30th, and this was really surprising to me, at 11.1%. We got the Seattle Seahawks, one of the thriving teams in the league, I'd say, right now, missing at 11.1%. They've had a dominant D-line. I noticed their D-line was just bullying Houston, who happens to be 31 in missed tackles at 11.7%. This Seahawks D-line was just bullying Houston. They were running to the ball. And so you would think that teams that miss tackles, the worst teams in terms of missing tackles in the league, would all be the shitty organizations. Now, you got the Jets, you got the Dolphins. Two terrible teams. But the Commanders, they're not terrible. They're downward trending right now, but they're not terrible. And the Seahawks are very good. And you got the Texans second to last in the league in terms of highest missed tackle percentage. And they're not really good. So who comes in at 32? You guys see the shit-eating grin on my face. Who is the worst team in the league as it pertains to missed tackles? Halloween's coming up. And what are the colors of Halloween? Orange and black. With a little bit of stripes. At 15% of the time, the Cincinnati Bengals miss their tackles. And now, we've seen as of an hour ago, really maybe at this point 2 hours ago, that veteran linebacker number 55, Logan Wilson, the guy that helped lead our defense on our Super Bowl run, has requested a trade from the Cincinnati Bengals. As of that news broke about 2 hours ago via Ben Baby. You imagine having Baby as a last name? So.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This goes one of two ways. Logan Wilson could just be talking to a brick wall. Cincinnati's going to say, nope, we're not trading you, bud. Kick rocks, bud. Or we deal him. And so what's interesting, and this is what I mentioned at the beginning of the show, some drama, some storylines starting to develop in the NFL. Players requesting trades. And I've heard on the street that if the Cincinnati Bengals beat the 0-7 Jets on Sunday and advance to 4-4, 500, with one of the easiest remaining strengths of schedule in the league, that the Bengals will become buyers on the trade market. They know. The Bengals, yes, were desperate when they signed Flacco. But I also think the reason for them being desperate is because they know that this is the time, this is the season in the NFL for a team like Cincinnati to break through and get a Super Bowl. And I'm going to say this about Cincinnati. They will not trade Trey Hendrickson. All these reports have broken. The Bengals will trade Trey Hendrickson if they are given a satisfactory haul for him. What's satisfactory? I know it ain't nothing less than a first rounder. And so the Bengals will not be trading anybody. The Bengals will not be sellers. If they do what they're supposed to do on Sunday against the Jets and go to 500, and then they go into a home game with the Chicago Bears and then a bye week, the Bengals will be buyers, not sellers. And so who dare you say would the Cincinnati Bengals look at? Well, I have a few ideas. You could just make Quinnen Williams stay in Cincinnati after the game. You go get Quinnen Williams. You're going to have to get a guy from a team that is a seller. The Jets will definitely be sellers. And the Jets will definitely listen to any offers on Quinnen Williams. I guarantee it. And I think, based on the needs of this Bengals team, that they're very justified in sending a second rounder over to New York for Quinnen Williams. Another name that's come up is Seahawks corner Tariq Woolen, who's also a solid corner. I don't know why specifically he's on the trade block. Let's take a look. But obviously, let's get back to where we started here, and we'll continue the trade drama throughout the league. Logan Wilson has requested a trade from Cincinnati. I think the writing was on the wall when you looked at his media interviews last week after he had found out he had gotten benched against Green Bay for rookie Barrett Carter. You now have two rookie linebackers running the show for Cincinnati's defense. Barrett Carter with the green dot on the back of his helmet, getting all the plays mic'd into his skull. But again, this team is last in the league in missed tackles at 15%. Gotta tighten that shit the fuck up. Like, you guys are pros, man. Your job is to make tackles. And we got two rookies in there. So the direction of this defense, the story with the Bengals defense is that they come up with turnovers. Objectively speaking, they force turnovers. DJ Turner is quietly one of the best corners in the game right now. Number 20 for Cincinnati. And they're forcing turnovers. They get a couple turnovers every game. and you got somebody like Joe Flacco on the other side, getting it out on time, not making errant throws. You know, Jake Browning's exactly what this defense didn't need, because even when this defense forced turnovers, Jake Browning's just going to turn it right back over and it cancels out. And you lose momentum. But I didn't see this as a shock. Logan Wilson, you know, props to him. I hope he gets what he wants. He gets to go somewhere where he's got a chance to win and he's got a chance to get a lot of reps. It's clear his time in Cincinnati's just played out, and they want to go with some younger guys. So it, part of it sucks. Part of it just is what it is, ain't it? What was I going to say? Yeah, Tariq Woolen. Tariq Woolen's a guy on the trade market. There were a whole bunch of discussions that I had bookmarked. Okay, here it is. So I saw this yesterday. Report. This is via Jordan Schultz. Colts are a team to watch at the trade deadline. Focus on adding a proven defensive playmaker. Now, Max Crosby has been a name that has come up in trade talks recently. Max Crosby wants to go win somewhere. Ashton Jeanty went to the press this past week and said that it's very clear that the Raiders organization has not had a winning culture for a long time. I think Max Crosby loves the Raiders organization. I think he loves living in Las Vegas and being around the UFC and guys like Dana White. But I think the guy wants to win, and I think he knows that he's not going to win anytime soon wearing the black and silver. So here's somebody's top five Colts trade targets. Max Crosby at number one. That would be sick if the Colts added Max Crosby. Would you wouldn't dare throw Max Crosby in the Bengals trade discussions, because they just drafted a defensive end in Shamar Stewart with their first-round pick this year. So the Bengals will not be contenders for Max Crosby, but I do think the Bengals will be buyers after they win on Sunday. This guy said a Colts trade target is Trey Hendrickson, and I have heard that Trey Hendrickson, that the Colts were making calls to Cincinnati about Trey Hendrickson. Here's the reason why I'm not worried about Cincinnati trading Trey Hendrickson. These phone calls, this is how they're going to go. Hello? Hey, Miss Katie Blackburn. This is Chris Ballard from the Indianapolis Colts. We're thinking about putting an offer in to you guys on Trey Hendrickson. What do you think of a first rounder every year for the next 10 years? Katie Blackburn's going to say, ah, sounds like too much change for me. Click. Any team calling the Bengals about trading for Trey Hendrickson might as well go and talk to a brick wall down the block. That's how I'm feeling about Trey Hendrickson trade rumors. The Bengals, again, I'll say it for the 800th time, will be buyers, not sellers. So the Bengals, I think they'd love to add someone like Quinnen Williams from New York. Who wouldn't? Denzel Ward is a guy that's getting some trade rumors. And I mentioned Tariq Woolen. I don't know why the hell Brian Burns would be on the trade block. I feel like they got a good thing going up front for the New York Giants, even though they had that catastrophic meltdown on Sunday. Does Myles Garrett become a trade conversation? Who knows? But it looks like the Colts will also be buyers trying to add a big playmaker. I think I saw the other day that Stephon Gilmore and Justin Simmons are both still free agents. The Bengals could definitely afford to add to their interior D-line and their secondary. Minka Fitzpatrick's been another name that's come up for a potential. And you notice a trend here. All the teams that are looking at trading guys away are teams like the Dolphins, teams like the Jets, teams like the Browns, teams like the Raiders. Kind of the bottom barrel of the league. They're all sellers right now. They're going to sell low. we got a lot of juice. I was kind of worried that we didn't have a show outline written today. But I got this second screen over here. I got Twitter, and we are rolling. We're at 56 minutes. I got to leave for my 8U practice here in like 20 minutes. And we've still got a ton of shit to talk about. I said this yesterday on the show. Lane Kiffin is not going to leave Ole Miss for anywhere but LSU or Bama. That thought just came to my mind. And then you got... And I'll probably, yeah, we got a few more things. The NFL and EA Sports have agreed to an extension through the 2030 season for the league's Madden video game license. EA Sports sucks! God, that news pissed me off, man. EA Sports, the most complacent company I've ever seen. Hello dog, I'm okay. Can you guys see his little head on the shorts feed? There it is. Can you guys see that? Why don't you come up here and show your face, bud? Yeah, I love this little dog. You got shit on my hand. What have you been eating? Anyway, so that sucks. No competition in the market. The game will be literally the same in 2030 as it is right now. No technological advancements, no coders, no developers in there. EA Sports is just good with cruising along. They're good with cruising along. We're going to give you guys shit every year and laugh at you because nobody can buy us out of this fucking rights deal. And we're just going to do no work. I'm talking about EA Sports. We're just going to do no work and laugh at you guys when you buy the game for $80 every year. And then we're going to hike the price up to $100 just because we feel like it, even though it's the same shitty game. That shit pissed me off so bad. So bad, bro. Okay, last thing of the day. Kind of a heartwarming, fun little topic of discussion. I wish I had saved the video so I could show it to you guys on screen. Joe Flacco was at a presser yesterday, and he said, I used to see guys sitting at the bar by themselves eating, and I used to feel so bad for them. And he says it in a northern accent, so bad for them. And now I realize that dude was in heaven. There's something about... As a young man, or maybe you're a man in your 40s that's had a divorce or something. I think when people see somebody eating solo at a restaurant or having a beer solo at a bar, that it's like inherently a sad thing. But I think maturing is, as a man, is realizing that that is sacred fucking time. That's really something. When, for me, if I got an evening to myself and I get stoned to the gills and I go out to my favorite establishment and I sit down and I have a meal on my own, it's such clear, quiet peace. And I think a lot of people are taking these comments from Flacco as like a jab at women or a jab at his wife. Where you're sitting at dinner and you got a bitch across from you telling you about how her nail tech did her shit a centimeter wrong. And you're just like sitting here like, I don't want to fucking hear this shit. I don't think Flacco means it like that. I think he's making the best of his situation. His kids, his family, they're in New Jersey, and they come down for the games or whatever. But he's saying he's getting that quiet time. He said he goes to the early bird dinner at his favorite Cincinnati restaurant at like 4 p.m. so that he doesn't run into a bunch of people wanting to take pictures with him or whatever, I guess. And And it was just really relatable. It's really hard to not like Joe Flacco. I don't care what team you're a fan of. It's very hard. I'm so grateful he's my quarterback. I think if God forbid he dropped dead today, I think he'd be a legend in Bengals lore. If he retired today, that might change things a little bit because that's by choice, you know. But I think he's already got a place for himself in Bengals lore. He didn't realize that the guy sitting by himself at dinner is actually in heaven. I'm telling you, man, this guy's the most relatable quarterback in NFL history. Speaking of relatable quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers said that he intends to finish his career in Green Bay, and it's sounding like this season with Pittsburgh might be his last, which is crazy because of how he's playing, man. He's playing lights out. Okay, I'm going to let you guys go. We're going to clip this thing up. We're going to get it to the masses. We're going to blow this show the fuck up to the moon. Maybe one day I'll get Sugar Shane on here. I was moving boxes with that motherfucker today, and he was telling me about how I could clone Jasper, the dog you just saw on screen. He was telling me about how he could clone Jasper for if I just threw 50 bands. Shout out to GC Sports Pod. They're just starting their channel. Hey, brother, if I could give you guys some unsolicited advice, just keep fucking going. You see the size of my channel. We've been at this for, you know, my channel is not even close to the biggest. We started this thing like a year and a half ago, and we just continue to show the fuck up and show the fuck out. Don't matter how you feeling. Don't matter whether your girlfriend's got that time of the month. It don't matter whether you're hungry, whether you're full of food. I don't know what I'm fucking saying, but you get what I'm saying. Just my boys, you know, Sugar Sean and Tim Welch, they always say they didn't see a red penny from any of this shit until after doing it consistently for about 7 years. You believe that? It's crazy. It's what I like about this shit. It's one of the hardest things that someone can do, put themselves out there and then continue to show back up even though maybe you're not getting as many views as you want. It's what I like about this. I like demonstrating resolve and persistence every day. That's what I really like about this content shit. Of course, I love reaching people. I love meeting new folks. I love getting new opportunities. But the main reason I really enjoy this shit is because it's hard. And I think it says something about somebody that has the courage to put themselves out there, share themselves with the world without fear of being judged. And even when you might, like, I'm sure I've looked like an ass so many times on this show already, having the willpower and the resolve to not care about that and show back up and do the next show, I think there's something to be said for that. That's really why I enjoy doing this shit. So I'll leave you guys with that.
Hey baby, give me the bubblegum in this motherfucker. So, well, baby, it's on you, dog. Hey, study long, study wrong.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D or Double G. But I,
thank you,
somehow,
Chief.
Some way, keep
thank you, Chief. Appreciate it, Chief.
Like every single day, may I
fuck copyright, boy. We get the vibes right on here, boy.
Two in the morning and the party still jumping because my mama ain't. We'll be right back.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.